You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Folks, it's Friday night, and it's time for Chaos Season 2, Episode 16, coming at your face. I've been reading a lot of books this year. I guess you would call it a New Year's resolution. I was just like, I want to just jam out on strictly nonfiction. Just reading. I won't bore you with what I'm reading, but I'm reading on average a book every 3 days. I'm up to like 20 something this year. I'm in the zone, which means that I'm really not watching as much TV. I'm just trying to expand my mind. However, at the end of the night, after the kids go to bed, my wife and I usually have like an hour and a half, 2 hours to just watch nonsense. And I can't stay up to date on all the latest Star Wars shows that come out or all the Marvel shows. I never watch them because my wife's not into them. I don't want to bore her with this shit. Even though she's like, just watch them. I'm like, nah, it's all right. I'll just never watch Andor. We will watch, we'll just throw on Netflix and be like, let's look for a good doc. And we almost always stumble into these cult docs. And I just finished the three-episode Waco series, which I think was out a while ago. And it's at least the 20th Waco series that I think I've seen. Fascinating. It's so crazy. And I don't know if I'm like into the cult docs just because we're playing so much Call of Cthulhu and I'm trying to like get into the mind of that or not. Cause I'm looking back at the latest things I've watched and they're all the new Synanon show on HBO. I never even heard about Synanon. Crazy. This book I was just reading recently by the, one of the founders of PayPal. I didn't agree with everything he said. And one of the things I didn't agree with is like, you can't make a cult anymore. I'm like, well, that's not true. There's new cults being built every single day because people just feel like they need to feel connected to someone. You find those people, come on in. Anyways, the Waco one is just crazy. Have you guys watched, what'd you say on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, I know what Waco is. 1, 2. I've watched like 50 hours of Waco stuff. Where's everybody at? Ross, I think I feel like you're a Waco guy.
That's not what you want to hear. Yeah.
I feel like you're a Branch Davidian.
No. On your scale of 1 to 10, I may be a solid 6.
Okay.
I mean, that was like a odd moment. I may be revealing my age here, but I remember seeing The Standoff on television when I was a little kid. On channel 101 at school, like a young Lisa Ling breaking down the siege, and it was just kind of like this arresting image, like the burning compound, and only later did I kind of like and I feel like the main takeaway was like this Koresh guy was crazy, and only later do you kind of learn just kind of how tragic that whole situation was. Like that the Branch of Indians were kind of a spinoff of the Seventh-day Adventists, right? And very super apocalyptic. But because they had because they were stockpiling weapons, ATF comes in and then it just becomes a total violent, for lack of a better word, clusterfuck. And the ramifications echo through the years.
Yeah, it's a real interesting story. If you're not familiar with it, it's definitely worth a watch. They did the dramatized version with the – what's his name? Taylor Kitsch or the dude from Friday Night Lights?
They made him hot.
Yeah, they made him hot and they kind of like made him seem like the hero of the film a little bit when he was like a pedophile, a terrible human being. But that even though it did all that, it was actually a very interesting movie because it paints the ATF as the bad guys, and they definitely did a lot of things wrong. But it's just kind of wild the whole way that it came about, and the documentary that I saw, I didn't realize that like he was just this like shithead who was looking for religion, stumbled into the Branch Davidians, and seduced like the 80-year-old woman that was the leader of the cult, and when she died, it was a standoff between him and the son of this woman, and he like got his buddies together who were Branch Davidians who were like kind of rooting for him to become the leader. They showed up with guns and he got arrested, and then the guy stepped down and he became the leader of the Branch Davidians. But I didn't realize that whole part of the story. I just figured this was his cult that he started. No, he inherited this cult from his lady lover.
Yeah, the more you watch, you learn about them. So many of these like high pressure organizations are riven with these internal power struggles, where there's all this like backbiting and jockeying to be the kind of power behind the throne.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Rob, 1 to 10 on Waco.
Two. I mean, two? I remember really. Like, I've got the Ross childhood memory of it, and then whatever jokes came after that. That's about it. I don't have time in my brain, in my mind. When the kids are down, I do not want to engage my mind in any way possible. I'm watching fucking Blue Eye Samurai by myself with a fucking glass of white wine. I'm just like, give it to me. Like, so I don't – any of this stuff like the Chukam, I'm just like, I don't – why would I want to do with my time right now? Not this. Not that I'm, you know, I'm not kink shaming anybody who gets into that stuff, but I just don't have the bandwidth anymore. It's gone.
Yeah, South Park did a great show about that, murder porn. Like,
oh yes,
moms and dads getting all horny over.
Well, I mean, I was on a murder porn show. Oh, yeah. For my parents.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's wild when you think that like shows like Criminal Minds or SVU are just like the popcorn entertainment, like the 8 o'clock. Primetime viewing, and it's all just like, well, the man carved off the head and made love to the head, and it's all just the most like psychotic and gross psychosexual stuff that's made for our parents to be like watching it while they're like eating a TV dinner.
Yes, I had to once extract a thumb drive from somebody's lower intestine on television. That was cool.
Oh, on Wonk. Television. Okay. Yeah. I was like,
wow. it was in a condom, and it had been swallowed by this dead suspect, and I had to just pull out, and the camera's just zooming in, and I'm fucking elbow deep in this thing while my actual father was going through stomach surgery in real life. That was a cool moment, wow. But that's a side story. Just the like gore, just the casual, but then also like, don't forget to crack your jokes. Them to laugh at.
You got to Sanford Meisner, that thumb drive out.
I was just like, and nobody knew. I was like, could I, I just need a quick second, guys, thanks. And I'd like go upstairs and like frantically check my like text messages. It's like, is my father alive? Then go back down and be like, blep, 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 blep.
Joke, joke, joke.
Yeah.
Nora, I'm going to put you in an 8. Tell me I'm wrong.
On Waco specifically? Yeah. Oh, no, like I'm at a 2.
We know how you are. We know you're a 10 on Tataria. So,
Tataria 10.
Oh, God.
She's a Tataria 10.
Once again,
she's a Waco 2.
I do not believe it. I do not believe it. Thank you for that edit, CJ.
You believe that the Waco Branch Davidian compound was built in the year 7000 BC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No, Nora, start talking about Waco so we can then later see an edit where you're praising Waco.
No, I have learned to keep my mouth shut during these intros because...
You never know.
CJ hates me.
I love
Waco.
Davidians.
David Koresh was hot.
There was like an episode of The Simpsons. There's an episode of The Simpsons where he's being accused of like inappropriately touching his babysitter when he was like literally, when he in actuality was trying to grab the Venus de Milo gummy, and the way they edited his like thing to make it look like a confession, and you could see like the clock things in between. Yeah,
sweet.
Oh man, yes.
Oh yeah.
I hate all of this.
Can Kay, where do you fall on the spectrum? The Waco spectrum.
A fat zero when you first introduced it. So then I Googled it, and it has a very big Wikipedia page. And did you know why tonight's the anniversary?
The
events of April 19th. We're recording this on April 19th.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's when it started, or was that day 51 when the standoff ended?
The standoff happened and ended.
April 19th. It's so crazy. I just watched the final episode last night, and day 51 is on April 19th.
Wow.
Speaking of documentaries, and so dark up top, but there is a pretty compelling documentary out right now about the Oklahoma City bombing, a terrible, terrible tragedy, which also occurred in the same time frame because Timothy McVeigh was a racist far right psycho who had basically hung out outside of the Waco standoff as though it was like the parking lot of a Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah, they show him in the documentary. He's he's selling anti-government stickers outside of the Waco compound. And then a year later, year later or maybe very shortly thereafter?
Oklahoma years City later, bomber. It all got wrapped up in all that weird mid-90s. Anti-government extremism. The 90s are way weirder than people remember.
The 90s were weird, man.
Yeah, they were weird. Huh. Music wasn't as good as the 80s. Better than the 70s.
Thanks a lot, Smash Mouth.
Every once in a while, I look back at documentaries that are just the 90s and the pop culture ones.
Right.
And all of the outdated internet references, like information superhighway, that people said very seriously.
We gotta shorten that. That's
amazing.
Work.
Yeah.
Zubaz.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love to surf the net.
The world, I call it the World Wide Web.
I kind of consider myself a console cowboy.
Well, I highly recommend this doc. It's only three eps and they're 45 minutes long each. But honestly, there's so many great Waco docs out there. It's a tragedy, but it's interesting because even at the end, they don't know who started the fire. Like the FBI says that they started the fire and burned themselves alive. Whereas one of the guys inside is we didn't start the fire. And the FBI guy is like, that guy's a liar. So it's really, really interesting. Anyways,
and Billy Joel comes in.
Is that where it came from? Anyways.
It's just all these forces of American hubris crashing into one another and creating this tragic moment.
Speaking of tragic moments, who's going to survive season two?
Everyone.
Maybe. Maybe. I realized last week as we started that combat in Henson Manufacturing, it all of a sudden, everybody got a little bit whoa, hey, will you get a bonus die? How come wait a minute, you can't get a, why am I not getting a penalty die? I was like, oh no. They love their characters too much.
It wasn't that, Troy. It was just the idea. This happens to be in real life, too, where it's just like the characters have fought unnamed horrors. And fucking Ringo, the security guard with a butter knife, is coming at us and nearly wiping us out. That was for me at least more of the frustration.
Isn't that brutal? I know you've faced literal horrors from the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah,
and a couple of guys with billy clubs and knives almost killed you. Quick recap of last week. It was all Henson Manufacturing. You decide to come back in at night and break in, and you stumble at the gate trying to unlock the door. One of the guys starts running over. You're having a fight with him between the gate. You try to break his arm. You hold him there as another guy comes up because now the other guards are starting to come, and the guy calls your bluff, runs off. You're able to take out one of the guys. Then you break in. DeMarco's trying to climb the wall, falls down, snaps her ankle. You guys come running, tackle this guy. Then it turns into a knife fight. Feyruz runs by into the building with the other guy. It's dark in there. That guy jumps her. They're wrestling on the ground with a knife. Carter gets stabbed. Desmond gets stabbed, almost gutted. Carter almost
got
killed.
Troy, you're making it sound like we didn't execute a well-formed plan.
I actually thought it was a great plan, and
the plan was awesome. The role was not.
Yeah, the roles were bad.
That one bad role.
The roles were very
bad. The linchpin role to kick it all off.
The old. I mean, you broke the hardest lock in all of London, and then couldn't open a simple fence.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. anymore. We've recapped it enough.
But you end up killing one of the guards and subduing the other ones. You tie them up, throw them in the gardening shed, and you go inside and start examining Henson Manufacturing. What is going on here? You break into the safe that Frank Marshall, the supervisor, shut immediately. Didn't want you to see what's in there. You open it up and you don't know what the hell's in there. It's all these weird components that look like they might be old, but also like new or reproductions of old things. It's just gizmos and gadgets that don't quite make any sense. You find these blueprints that seem to be teaching the people there to, or instructing the people to make these things that are recreations of something, but it's all abstract and weird and you don't understand any of it. All the blueprints are signed, the Pale Viper. You see little notes in the marginalia in that same script, as well as strange mythos symbols, perhaps. Definitely cryptic symbols, the likes of which you have seen before, although they didn't ring a specific bell. You find out that a shipment, you find a note about the shipment. What was it? I want to read it exactly.
It was going to the dock.
First crate was received. There was a second crate. Ivory Wind. We'll take it from there. Yeah, I didn't get the whole thing.
First crate has been received.
Limehouse or something?
I have a truck coming this week to deliver it to Chowdhury's warehouse down at the Limehouse docks. Send the second crate directly to Limehouse. The Ivory Wind will take it from there. You tie the guys up and you burn down the buildings.
Oh, right.
And we stole all those schematics and shit, too. Like, yeah. That stuff came with it.
Stole schematics, grabbed as much as you could, left, hung out in the train station, and then took the earliest train back to London. You come into London, dog tired. You stay at Desmond's small flat. A bit of a step down from the Waldorf Astoria and the Waldorf London. And you wake up with some plans. I'm going to open this week kind of flashing back to Margot and Feyruz, like standing in that abandoned building, watching everything unfold, watching Desmond and Carter walk up to the gate, pretending to be the people that installed the safe, watching. And we just see now Feyruz and Margot from behind. It's like they're being watched. And then we see the four of you up there, because you were taking a look, kind of scouting out the land before you went back down to break in that night, I believe. Same thing. From behind, someone watching. And then we see the four of you scurry away as the buildings start to light up with fire, running down the street or moving quickly. And we just scan over to that building where we see in the window a small, dirty child watching Henson Manufacturing light up. Cut to early morning. Fire trucks. Imagine they had fire trucks in London. Or just everyone in town brought a bucket of water. Let's assume they had fire trucks. Just putting out the blaze. And Frank Marshall is there along with the guards. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. There's police there. Like, what is going on? There was a fire. Da, 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 da. And we just see this hubbub happening. And across the street is that same dirty child. Now just watching them all chat. And we pick up back Desmond's flat as each of you try to decide what you want to do today. According to your list last week, you wanted to go to the little hall of records and look up these license plates. Feyruz had mentioned that you wanted to maybe see if you saw any connection to this Emil, this Captain Emil that you read about in your mother's diary, perhaps someone that she had an affair with back in the day, some British soldier. Maybe you'd find something there about Captain Emil. And then you mentioned maybe wanting to tail Zahra Shafiq, maybe wanting to tail Gavigan. And then maybe making your way to the docks at night, the Limehouse docks, seedy section of town, to see what's going on at Chowdery's warehouse, or perhaps find the Ivory Wind. So, you lead the way. What do you guys want to do today?
Carter wants to just do a quick pop into a doctor. Just not feeling cool with 7 hit points. Would love to try to rectify that slightly.
Ooh, luck roll?
And then, what's that?
Luck roll?
Oh, let's start with the luck roll. Carter would
opening
like to
luck roll,
luck.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's been a lot of it too to much open luck. That fucking safe.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Fail.
Oh, that's a huge fail.
All right.
Yeah. Fails are good.
Yeah. Fails are good.
I love failing in this role.
Fail forward.
You know.
Woo.
Yeah, get that luck. All right, so you want to kind of... while
that
while
can be on the
is,
way to, like, the right. Hall of Records fail. Or whatever.
Pop into a clinic or, you know, you might need to... I mean, this might not be a... Imagine it's the healthcare system today. You go in, you got to wait for an hour or so. Then someone sees you.
I mean, sounds great.
Take some time. But you're going to stop in. All right. So you go to a doctor, and I don't need to role play this all out because it'll take 15 minutes of the show and just be a bit. But I imagine they're going to roll a medicine check, and if they succeed, you get, what is it, 1d3 hit points?
Yeah, I think Michael pre-show said it has to be a hard success.
Hard success,
a doctor.
Right. Give me a luck roll to see how good of a doctor you got.
Oh, luck roll?
Yeah. See if this guy's good. It's going to kind of determine what his skill level is.
This guy sucks.
So it's a real shitty doctor.
He's an 80. He's an 83 over 37 kind of doctor.
83 over 30. All right, so it's a failed luck roll. I'm going to set his medical skill at... 45 or 46, we'll say. So I need a 23 or lower for him to heal.
Cool. How much luck does the doctor have?
The doctor's going to burn all his luck on you.
I rolled
72.
Okay.
It's like, I'm sorry. You've only got a week to live.
You suck.
So
you're
sorry.
The worst doctor.
This wound. What happened? It looks almost looks like if you were stabbed.
Feral cat got me. I don't know if you've taken a walk around here. These cats, they're large. Well, goodbye. I'll just leave. I don't fuck it. I'm so over it. Yeah.
I normally don't work today. There's a much better doctor that works on this day of the week. He's not okay. Here today. What terrible luck.
Unlucky.
And you meet up with your friends who are having tea.
Yep. Well, just let me just shove another tampon into this wound.
Did they have those?
God, you're going to use up all of everything that I bought. I have to buy more.
Same cycle, baby.
So funny.
They have gauze, you know.
This one's got the easy pull-out move.
The applicator? Oh, I bet you applicators weren't invented yet.
No, they were there, but they were like made of aluminum.
A cardboard applicator tampon debuted in 1931.
Ooh.
Bummer. Sorry, ladies.
Google, one of the questions is, who invented the tampon and why? I think I know the why.
And why?
It's the who. Then. And why? And why? Is this? All right.
Yeah, if that little interaction is happening over his mug of tea, Desmond's just like, who the hell are these people? And he maybe has got up. I think Desmond's just sprightly and young. Even on little sleep, he's kind of gotten up and maybe as you've heard him like tapping away, like getting a prepping a story and brewing tea in his little kettle and laying out like a literal like string on a board and kind of looking at it like Gavigan. Is the warehouse burn? Or the package is being shipped out? Chowdery, Limehouse? What's the connection to the Blue Pyramid, though? And then he's just kind of like looking at all of the things. It's just like,
Still don't see how it connects.
I love this dingy little apartment. It's got the pin board, a typewriter, and very little else.
Yeah, and it's stacks of books, and imagine like posters tacked to the walls, just like, working men, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
Lots of outlines of like fists.
Yeah, yes. Lots of radical literature and screen printed posters around.
Okay, well,
The person that I really don't understand is this Shafiq character. Now, you say that there's a truck or a vehicle that is trafficking people outside of the city. She seems clean, far as I can tell. Just strange. I'd love to put a tail on her, follow her around, see if there's anything suspicious she's up to, and if she's connected to this lot.
Yeah.
You've never seen Shafiq coming or going from the Penhu Foundation? No Gavigan connection?
No, I think we just heard that the waitress at the Blue Pyramid is the one who pinned her, I believe, and said she was behind it all. Hmm. So we're going off word of mouth.
It could be a game
of telephone. Maybe she said Farah Flefleek, you know, and we just misheard. Just happened to be a Zara Shafiq around.
She
could be she could be the scapegoat for that waitress.
Yeah. Oh, the waitress is the one behind it all. Yeah.
We never know.
Yeah, and that's everything is, we just went to Lesser Edale, and that was not related. Maybe this isn't related. Who knows?
But if you want to put a tail on her, I think we talked about this earlier, was that she's seen me and she's seen Margot. She hasn't seen Feyruz or you, Des, so...
Perhaps we split up?
All right, then. If you and I go to the Spice House, maybe we can get a better look at what Miss Shafiq gets up to in her spare time.
Right.
And then by night, perhaps it's worth paying Mr. Chaudhry's warehouse a little visit.
And we'll go and check out the license plate numbers and maybe tail Gavigan?
Sure.
Are you going to the records?
Yeah.
And Feyruz will take out like a little scrap piece of notebook and write down Emil L., British soldier in Cairo, approximate dates, and like slips it into Carter's hands. Do you be able to, if you find anything at all, and this is secondary, obviously, I didn't want to spend too much time on this, but if you do find anything, it would be greatly important to me.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, so you're going to split up. We're going to have Desmond and Feyruz partner up to tail Zara Shafiq to see what she's up to, and Margot and Carter are going to see if Gavigan has any movement during the day. But on the way there, you're going to stop at this Hall of Records. Now, just knowing what everyone, do either of you have good library use?
That's where I would have come in handy.
Yeah, because if not,
I've got a 32.
Oh, I've got a 20, but they have employees there. We can chat.
They do have employees there. The only reason I bring it up is if I think. What do you have, Feyruz?
My library use is a 53, so it's good, but it's not like amazing.
Yeah, and Desmond, this might be right up your alley.
It you'd think it would be, but no. 20.
So the only reason I bring it up is you all could go there and then split up from there
first stop.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do that.
Because you would know, like, Feyruz is really good at this, and, you know, Margot can help. All right, so you head to, I had the map up last week. What is it called?
London.
Yes, it's called London. The Public Records Office. Okay, so you go to the Public Records Office. It's right near Desmond's flat, just north of the bend in the Thames there. The scoop, the offices of the Scoop are a stone's throw away, as well as the Royal Courts of Justice and the Inns of Court and Chancy. You walk on in and the secretary is like, oh, hello, how may I be of service to you today?
Well, madam, we have a couple bits of information we're looking to be educated on.
See?
Do you guys have a record of registered automobiles in your fine country?
Yeah,
or at
yes.
least the city?
As a matter of fact, we do, yes.
Great. Well, we have two license plates that we'd love to find some more information about, if possible.
All right, and may I ask who you are with?
Yes, Inspector Barrington of Scotland Yard.
Barrington of Scotland Yard, oh. Well, give me a lie roll or something. Or deception or charm or something here.
Uh-huh. Yes. Charm it is. And may I say, madam, while you look this up, the glasses that you have that end in those tiny little points on either side, man, they just make you look like a giant panther. Those cat eyes.
It's my favorite kind of cat.
I knew it. That's why I just barely rolled under my charm. It's a regular success.
So you're with Inspector Barrington? That seems about right. I can point you to where those records are, and you can take a look. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind too terribly. I am looking for a registry of military service between, and she gives her the dates. I'm looking for a specific name. Mm-hmm. Stationed in Cairo. I don't know if you have those listed under any records of yours.
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We do have listings of most people who have enlisted over the years. Do you know if the person is living or deceased?
I'm not sure.
All right, well, maybe a little trickier to find, but with the dates and the name, I'll direct you to a section of the library where you can leave it up to the chance of a die roll, as they say.
Great.
Anyhow, license plates are over there, and old British soldiers section is over there. I am going to go look at myself in the mirror and see
panther.
If I look like a panther. Good day. Tell Inspector Barrington I said hello.
Is it panther or pantheress when it's a female of the species? Like lioness, pantheress? That doesn't make any sense. Forget it.
No, I like it, though. But no, I don't think that's the thing.
Pantheress.
All right, so let's start with a library use roll on these license plates. I'm going to say they're non-alphabetical. It's a little tricky. That's why this roll exists.
All right, I'm helping because I saw one of them.
All right, if you have it, everybody can roll and see who finds it.
Everybody fails.
Are we doing a library?
Yeah. You've got two license plates. And as you're rolling, I'll just remind you what these plates are. One was the plate of the car that was outside of Empire Spices. You don't know if it was watching you, Empire Spices, and by you, was it Carter and Margot who went in, or Fayrouz and Vaughn who hopped the fence? And then the other car was the one that Carter followed a gentleman outside of the bar, the Laughing Horse Inn, all the way into the woods, off the beaten path, saw a car take off with a gentleman, and you got the license plate there. Any successes?
Nope.
No.
Yes, I did. 31.
31?
Under 53.
Okay.
How about what I like to call an extreme?
Ooh.
Oh.
A four under 20.
Wow. You were like so pissed about seeing that guy that you're like, I'm going to find.
Those numbers have been seared into my mind.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you some more information then than you would have got otherwise, especially with regards to, both cars. The first one looks like it's a car that is registered to the Penhew Foundation.
Whoa. The first one that was outside of the spice room?
Outside Empire Spices, yes.
Interesting.
The second car is registered to a business called Godfrey Davis UK. And with an extreme success, I will tell you that this is a relatively new business. In fact, the only one of its kind operating in England. It is a car rental company.
So I'm sorry, did you rental. Say it was Godfrey what?
UK? Godfrey Davis, UK. It's a business located here in London. It is a car rental service, first of its kind in England. So whoever was out in Lesser Edale rented that car, whereas the first car was registered to the Penhew Foundation.
And if we remember back to the Spice house and seeing the car, it felt like that car was there watching and not like there to go into the Spice house.
Felt like it was there watching. You're just unsure if you were the ones being watched or if Empire Spice.
And then it peeled out, or I might be over dramatizing it, but it left. It pulled away when I was walking up to talk to him.
As you started to walk towards it, yeah.
And I tripped on my own dick into a pothole.
Yep.
And my mask came off. That was cool.
Yep. Real embarrassing.
Did we say out loud when we were at the Penhew Foundation that we were going to the Spice House after? I'm trying to understand if they were there to watch us or maybe also scope out the Spice House like we were.
It's possible. But no, I don't remember us talking about that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But if there was a possibility that they were there for some reason to watch the Spice House, then what is it that they know about the Spice House that we don't?
It's at least a connection between Penhew and Empire Spices heretofore unseen.
Yeah.
Yes. Even if they were following you, then they know that you're looking.
Oh, we can add another string to your board when we get back to your apartment and we can connect. I'm
very much looking forward to that. Oh. Very satisfying.
So we get a lot on the card. Did you find anything about this Emil L. character?
Well, let's go over there now.
Let's find... do I need to do a different library?
Yeah, let's search in the British soldier section of this magical
Favors,
place.
You want any pointers on how to crush a library check, or... I can give you some...
Wow, I got 1 point under. I succeeded.
Ooh, 52 under 53. Who is this person? I imagine... I don't know what this looks like. I don't even know
if anybody wants to help and gets an extreme.
I just tried for the meme, but I failed real bad.
Nah. Oh. I thought when I saw you, I saw
I got
Ross's
a
roll. I thought it was mine. I was like, no.
I got a hard success. I got a 13 under 32.
Nice.
So you're looking through. I mean, I imagine it's just like countless books that are listing, like you're looking at like enlisting forms. I don't even know what form this research would take, but it takes time to do these things, and that's really the type of success for me is like how long this is going to take, because you have plans for the day. The hard success is going to help move things along a little bit, but you're all kind of trying to help each other looking for this name that's important to Feyruz. Feyruz, did you tell them anything why you're looking for this name, or you just said it's just
I told Vaughn.
Aww.
Told Vaughn. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you start looking about and you see, I mean, just going with a last initial, it's hard. So you're looking at like everyone with the last name of L, then seeing if they have Emil. Sometimes there's ELs, and it's just funny. Eventually, you see there's one name that seems to be the closest thing you have, and it's a Captain Emil Lydell, who was a soldier in the Anglo-Egyptian War and was stationed near Cairo in the late 1800s. L-I-D-D-E-L, Captain Emil Lydell, soldier in the Anglo-Egyptian War, stationed near Cairo in the late 1800s. And there's really no other information other than without doing more checks, you could cross-reference and find an address for this gentleman in London.
Okay. In a different location? Would I be looking
at... Yeah, it's like on the other side of town, but it's not like outside of town.
All right. But so I store this away. Well, this is a starting point.
Who is this guy?
Thank you, Margo. Oh, that's right. I did not tell you. Funny thing, I have been poring over my mother's diary for years. And something has always not sit right with me because my father never likes to speak about my late mother. And everything has always seemed so mysterious, especially surrounding her sudden death, which I have no idea what the details are on, and nobody likes to talk about it. And I found this British soldier's name in my mother's diary. And I just want to know if he is alive. Perhaps he can fill in some gaps for me. I don't know, it's a long shot, but it's more than my father's ever told me.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, although I would recommend sometimes it's best to just let the past die. If you don't find anything, you know, it doesn't change who you are right now, right?
No, I suppose it doesn't, but at least I know that I tried.
Yeah. Right? Trying's always good, too. And then he turns to Des and he's like, are you writing this down, Desmond? That was pretty good. I had a pretty good nugget right there of wisdom. Never hurts to try, Carter Tillinghast. This date, 1925.
I'll just pencil that away for later use. Thank
that
you,
could
Mr.
be,
Tillinghast.
Honestly, that could be on the back of the book. Never hurts to try about, you know, people will be like, oh, is he talking about just like trying a new food? Or maybe he's talking about trying his hand at writing with the help of a ghostwriter like yourself. Let's keep going.
That's an all-purpose philosophical phrase to live by, Mr. Tillinghast.
Man, I'm great.
And Desmond has failed both his library use roles because instead of researching, I guess, he's maybe like sneaking little pamphlets into the stacks of like internationalism, the last hope for the oppressed peoples of the world.
All right, so we'll just kind of fade out of this Hall of Records and fade back up on these two groups. One outside of Empire Spices, one outside of the Penhu Foundation. Let's start with Empire Spices. Now, you know that there's it's kind of West Village-y. There's a lot of cafes and bars. It's a little more run down, but there's a certain charm to Soho as well. Blue Pyramid Club's right up the street. I think originally Margo and Carter, Feyruz and Vaughn's were at a little cafe kind of watching everything go down. You could easily go back there. Talk me through the scene.
Yeah, that seems like the most obvious place to kind of post up and get a good view. I think maybe you just, alas, without Vaughn's pocketbook, it's just like buying cups of tea to try to rent the table as we keep eyes glued to the building.
What are you guys talking
about?
The old
newspaper in front of the face.
Yeah. Poke the holes through the photograph of the person whose face is the exact same size as yours.
Yes. You see the eyeballs.
And maybe Desmond has unfolded a copy of The Scoop and it's just like, fire destroys factory.
Oh, we should look into if they'd written anything about that.
What do you think about all this, Miss Chabron? Where do you reckon these people are being taken? Assuming, of course, it is that the woman you interviewed is telling you the whole truth.
That is true. To be honest, that was a thought that occurred to me for the first time as it was leaving my mouth. There are so many things, so many leads that I think are going to in one direction and then it turns into something else entirely and becomes more complex and it's incredibly frustrating. At first I thought that those
groups of people that they were sending out in those vans possibly had something to do with the attacks by, you know, that creature in Edale. But we came to find out that that's not the case. We found out who that was. So where are these people being led to? I have no idea.
That was very strange either way.
I don't like any of it. I know that there's something. There's got to be something nefarious going on in these. The way that things are being explained to us or being led breadcrumbs in hushed tones, and it's weighs on you after a while.
Yes. It is in the interest of the ownership class to keep their rules and machinations as Byzantine and hard to follow as possible.
And that word, like, kind of swirls around in Feyruz's brain for a second, and she just goes, yes. Yes. Correct. I agree.
Sausage, you and Mr. Villiers still, he's like gesturing towards your ring, planning on tying the knot then.
I mean, I would think so. It's hard to say with the condition we left him in. I do hope he recovers, and it would... It's strange to find connection with people over the most horrific of circumstances. But I find that the way that I would like to live my life and the way that he would like to live his. I know it doesn't make sense, but in a way it absolutely does. And so if he does recover, because I believe there is a sound mind part in there, not to make light of it, but if he ever does recover and he does join us again, which I truly hope he does, and he would still like to, then so would I. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
What do you think about all of this? We have told you insane stories, and we must be mad.
Do you really want me to be honest, Miss Chabron?
Yes.
It seems to me half the time that you're stark raving. I don't understand what you're saying more than half the time. I don't believe in ghouls and beasts and things that go bump in the night. I find that more often than not there are material explanations for the superstitions of this world. And it is in power's interest to keep the masses superstitious so that they do not understand the real material power that keeps them oppressed.
As an academic, I could tell you, I absolutely agree where you're coming from, but there will come a time where you will see something. I can promise you that.
I've already seen a great many things in your traveling with your little band. It's not every day one comes into deadly conflict with someone of an evening. Yeah. I can't stop thinking about that man I bludgeoned.
Yes. It's best not to think about things too deeply, I've found.
I suppose, yeah, we are all of us engaged in a struggle. And there are bound to be casualties along the way.
You're watching people come in and out of the store, and it's not like heavy traffic. It's not like people in and out every 5 minutes, but you'll see people come in, you watch them, they come out eventually, in, out. At a certain point, right around the point of this conversation, a car pulls up in front, and a woman exits.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a woman, but you can't see her face. She's got this scarf, like, drawn up over covering her face. But you do know you did not see this woman walk inside the building. So there's as good a chance as any that this is Miss Shafiq. She gets into the car, and the car begins to drive off. What do you do?
Throw some money on the table. I keep the change, boyo, and just like taxi, and
taxi pulls up. Do you hop in? Yeah. You start following the car.
Not for nothing, man, but follow that car.
Now we cut to the Penhue Foundation. Margo and Carter, you've seen this building. You've snuck into this building. You know the lay of the land pretty well.
Our old haunting grounds.
You know, there's this big, big old wall surrounding the foundation. And there are, you know, security guards, obviously. There's a lot of priceless antiques in there. What kind of distance are we keeping for the foundation? What doors are you watching on? Because remember, there's that back loading area where Feyruz was talking to some Egyptian dude and trying to flirt with him as they were taking a crate out onto the Ferris and Sons truck. Where are you splitting out? Talk to me about what's going on.
I feel like, either the loading dock or like a window to his office, if we can see. I'm not sure what else would be.
It would just be about like what would be the main entrance and exit for employees. Is there like employee parking?
No, it seems like the front door. There's the front door and there's the back door. In fact, I'll even bring you back to the Penhue Foundation map just so you can kind of get a memory of the building itself. It seems like you could have one of you on the front, one of you on the back, or two of you. And do you want to have coverage on both areas, or you just want to watch the front door or the back door?
If there's no set place where we think he would have like parked his car, like if that loading, Troy, does the behind the gate where the loading zone is, are there cars parked there? Can we see that much?
Yeah, so you go do like a walk around, and there are no cars parked back there.
Okay, then I say we both just watch the front.
Okay, what are you guys talking about?
We can split up if you want to, Kate, whatever.
Oh, here we are again. Carter and Margo. Sticking out.
Is there like a bench for like the bus stop or something nearby we could be like sitting at, watching?
Yeah. Yeah, in as conspicuously as possible, or inconspicuously.
Oh, I was like, oh no! You sit directly under a spotlight with
so
a helicopter.
It's so funny. We just keep getting paired together.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's just the worst. Hey, you know, and he like reaches it to his. There's a sneeze on the wind.
Oh, pardon me.
You know what they say when you hear a sneeze in the wind? It's means good luck, and that this he like reaches into his jacket and he pulls out like a crumpled paper bag, and he's like, when I went to the fucking shitty doctor, I made a little pit stop on the way back to Dez's hovel, and I got you this. And he like reaches in and he pulls out like some paints and a little paintbrush. I was like, I was asking around. I don't know what your medium is. There's like acrylics and there's watercolors. And so I just got you like a little hodgepodge of stuff. Cause I was like, maybe she she's a creative person. Maybe she's been feeling stifled. She's been, you know, it's a lot of photography. Sure. But you know, and so I don't know if you don't have to take them. I could, you know, I'm sure I can paint too. Probably I could paint a thing, but if you want them, I got them. So
she's here. Just like not interrupting and letting you ramble. Wait, you got it from his hovel? You stole it from Desmond's?
No. Please, there's nothing to steal in that place.
Oh, that would have been very nice.
No, there was a shop. There was like an arts and crafts store that I went to near this shitty doctor's office. And, you know, I just got you some paints. I don't know. That's not a big deal. You know, whatever. You don't have to. I'll drink them. I don't care.
You drink them. Do you want me to teach you how to paint?
Well, you know,
I was thinking, it could be kind of interesting if this could sound stupid, but if you wanted to, like, paint something on my mask, I think that would be kind of cool.
Oh. Do you know, I never painted, she's like reaching out to touch your mask. And she's like, I've never painted on this medium before. It's usually just canvas or a board or mm-hmm. just paper. And, you know, it's just smooth.
Well, that's me, just a blank canvas.
What if I could try painting on it? I will use your paints.
Okay.
But what if I tried carving something?
Oh, like an etching?
Yeah. Well,
sure.
Etching is with acid. I would be engraving. Of course.
Yeah, that was what I was, you know, I knew it was an E word. Yeah, that could be cool too. Yeah.
What kind of things do you like? Like, design wise?
Oh,
or do you want me to just run wild?
I think whatever speaks to you.
Oh.
I have no preference.
Oh. She's excited. She gets to, like, be creative. I feel like she's only been drawing, like, her nightmares and just like the crazy stuff she sees in her head as like a way to like get it out, but then also be to document it. So she's like, oh, I get to be creative and no pressure.
No pressure. It's just my face and
just
everyone will
face.
See it.
Oh,
wherever
it's really
I go.
As so you're when can and, I, are you yeah, going go to take it off? When can I do this?
I don't know. I feel like something's about to happen.
You're talking, you're looking at each other. Maybe she's like touching your mask tenderly. And you both stop. Edward Gavigan walks out of the Penhew Foundation and is standing 150 feet away from you, just standing in front of the gates to the Penhew Foundation. He exchanges pleasantries with one of the guards. Just kind of looks around.
Carter starts like frantically like, fuck, those assholes took my copy of The Scoop. I was going to use it as a cover.
Margo holds up her like big bag and is like trying to look through it and just like holds it up kind of like in front of us.
Uh-huh, yeah, Carter's looking, oh, that's a shotgun.
Help me find something in here. I don't know.
God, there's so much in here.
You steal a glance, and it almost feels like he's looking directly at you, but there's no way. You're far away. There's just no way. Car pulls up in front of the Penhew Foundation. Edward Gavigan takes one long last look and then hops in the rear seat. What do you do?
First, I'd like to see if we can see the license plate on that and if it's the same as the car that... We know. Not that it matters a ton, but...
You check the plate. It is different.
Okay. I think Carter stands up and tries to do the same exact sweet-ass move that Dez did with the whistle, but he's like...
What's
that on me?
Just,
I'm so sorry. Fingers go into his hit mask. Yeah.
You give me a gift. You give me a gift and then you spit on me when I'm right up in your face.
I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get a cab. Can you whistle? How do you do it in German? Ah! You just sort of gutturally scream.
Oh my goodness. So she goes out into the road and tries to flag down a cab.
Farfek Nugan, something.
You Farfek Nugan, a cab. You hop in and you follow Edward Gavigan. Among the two of you, who has the worst stealth roll?
Of Margo and Carter?
Mm-hmm.
What about the taxi driver?
True, but
Margo's is worse.
It is.
I think so. What is it?
46.
Yeah, I got a 61.
Oh,
okay. And then among Desmond and Feyruz, who has the worst stealth roll?
I have a 60.
That's good.
I have a 40.
40. Okay. All right. Great, guys. Get in your cabs, and now split screen, we see Desmond and Feyruz following along this road, mm-hmm. heading north of Soho into the northern part of London, weaving through traffic. Sometimes maybe you have to tell the driver, like, stay on her, please stay on her. Following this car back to Carter and Margo, also in a car, following Edward Gavigan through traffic. Eventually, both cars, not simultaneously, but following along both of these cars, we see them pull in to Wembley in the North London area. Signs everywhere amongst all of these large buildings for the British Empire exhibition. And both Edward Gavigan's car and Zara Shafiq's car are going to the same exact place.
Fuck yeah.
Well, well, well.
And we'll be back right after this break.
Yeah.
So we are at the British Empire exhibition. I don't think you've seen each other yet. You don't know that you're both coming to the same location, but this was a real thing that happened in London. Lasted for a year from 1924 to 1925. Major event attracting millions of visitors from across the world. The exhibition's aim, and maybe you see signs with the mission statement or whatnot all over the place, was to, quote, stimulate trade, strengthen bonds that bind mother country to her sister states and daughters, to bring into closer contact the one with each other, to enable all who owe allegiance to the British flag to meet on common ground and learn to know each other. It is grandiose. There are a dozen or so buildings, warehouses, and each one of them is dedicated to a different exhibition. There is one that is like a Canadian pavilion that has rumored a full-sized reproduction of the Prince of Wales and future King Edward VIII, sculpted out of butter. There is some of them are named like the Palace of blah, blah, blah. There's the Palace of Housing and Transport, which has a huge working crane as part of the exhibition and displays all manner of technical achievements in engineering, shipbuilding, electricity, motor vehicles, railways, you name it, aircraft. People are talking about soon we'll be able to do transatlantic flights. The British will be the ones to do it. There's the Palace of
Arts. We'll fly to new countries and take over those ones as well.
And so it is in this grandiose scene that we find ourselves as a car with, you assume, Zara Shafiq. But again, this woman has a scarf covering her face. You never saw her go into the building. You saw her come out. She gets out of the car, walks up to the entrance by herself, and pays the admission to go in. Likewise, a car pulls up with Edward Gavigan. Edward Gavigan gets out, takes a deep breath, walks up, pays admission, goes in. What are the two teams doing?
Right. Well, do we see each other? Do we?
Not yet.
Go around, a block, just go around. He's getting out, but just go make a loop and we'll come out later.
Well, this place is, I mean, this is, are there thousands of people walking around here? This is a giant thing,
huge,
right?
Oh, it's yeah. A lot. Yeah, and it's outdoor and indoor.
Yes, pay the cabbie and begin to keep a safe distance. I want to attract attention, melt into the crowd, and try to weave in between people, always keeping an eye on the woman with the scarf.
Our specialty.
And what was your stealth again?
Quietly into the crowd, yes.
Desmond, your stealth was a 40?
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Okay, cool.
And then I guess for us, like, I'm going to have my sketchbook out to make it look like I'm here to, like, you know, come see the exhibit and just, you know, sketch while I'm here.
Oh, you fit right in, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have your camera with you, too?
Of course I do.
Can I hold it and pretend I know what I'm doing with it?
Okay. You only have one eye, though, so make sure you put it. That'd be
I got to put it on the right eye. Yeah, thanks. Just got to
fake eye.
Look with the working eye. Got it.
All right, you again, this isn't happening simultaneously, but we're keeping these split screens as both of you are walking up to the same place. And they say, greetings, admission is 1 shilling 6 pence for adults.
That makes perfect sense.
Is that a lot of money?
I don't think so.
Okay. Go into my bag and pull out coins. and just hold them and wait.
These are German francs.
No, these are from your country. Just can you take what it is? I don't understand.
All right. thank you. All right. And you as well.
I am also German.
You enter the exhibit. Likewise does Desmond and Feyruz. Everybody give me a spot hidden.
Sure. Right. Somehow the I'm German like makes the mask seem like more acceptable.
Right? Okay.
I am extreme.
Oh, nice. I got a fail.
I got an extreme success.
I got a hard success.
Nice.
I failed.
All right, this is kind of perfect. So, Desmond and Feyruz, you enter and you watch this woman weave about, stop at one building and kind of gaze inside, walk up to another building and go inside. It's the... I can't remember what pavilion it is, but anyways, it's one of the ones that has it's focused on industry. The Palace of Industry, we'll say. She goes into that one. As you are tailing her towards that building, you see Carter and Margot out of the corner of your eye, walking. You know, Carter's got a camera and Margot has a sketch pad, and you weren't expecting to see them.
Seems all friends.
I'm like, there's a fucking guy made out of butter over there.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
Wow.
Casual.
Margot, you're two little bohemians.
Huh?
Oh! Oh, geez,
enjoying the butter boy, are you telling us?
Are you guys slacking on the job? Why are you even here? We're doing our job.
We tailed a van.
Yes.
Wait, Shafiq? She's here?
She looked like her. She's a little too bundled up for the weather, but...
Well, Gavigan's here, too.
She just walked into that... what was the name of the building?
The Palace of Industry over there.
They got the crane!
What are they both doing here?
So did we, by failing the spot hidden, did we just not see these two, or did we lose Gavigan?
You did not see these two. You see Gavigan, and Gavigan goes up and walks into the Palace of Art.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Oh, two separate buildings. That's not what I thought was going to happen.
Well,
strange.
If this is Shafiq, she doesn't know what we look like, so let's continue to follow her, and we'll meet back here.
Okay. If you see any kettle corn, get me some.
Sure.
Okay.
If we pass concessions, we'll try to pick you up kettle corn in a novelty imperial bucket.
Wait, Desmond, say kettle corn again.
Kettle corn.
Oh my god, it's so cool. All right.
Do you guys stay together now, or do you split?
Oh, we can't lose Gavigan.
Split.
And this will be
stay on your man.
We can go into the arts pavilion and we can get some inspiration for your mask.
Oh, that's great too, yeah. And the kettle corn. Here we go.
Two birds, one stone.
Stay on task.
Yes. We're having a great time. I don't know about you guys.
Smash it.
You.
Do-do-do.
All right, so.
Off to the Palace of Industry then.
Desmond Feyruz.
Kettle. Do I say it for you? Kettle corn. Now he's made me self-conscious about it.
Desmond and Feyruz duck.
He says kettle. I don't understand.
Kettle.
To duck into the Palace of Industry, and you see this woman. She really stands out in the crowd, even though her face is still covered. She seems a little out of place here. Everything is very, it's like showing, this is, you. I don't know how you feel about this. It shows workers, you know, building things, and it shows, you know, factories. There's like little models of factories pumping smoke, and then like little models of workers filing in the building and things coming out the other end.
What should be a temple of labor? They have debased into a palace of oppression and exploitation.
Focus.
Right.
I would like to take a look around to see, like, is anybody have, like, particularly also has eyes on her? Does she look like she's waiting for somebody?
Yeah, is she looking at anything in particular? We've just come from an industrial zone that we burned down. Is there, the correlation between, like, industry and where we just were at the Henson Manufacturing is creating a little string on the corkboard in Desmond's mind. Mm-hmm. He's like, is she looking at anything in particular on the exhibition floor?
She doesn't spend a lot of time at each stop. She kind of casually glances at something, stops, moves on to the next, casually glances, and just continues on. It's almost like she's very perfunctory in her movements. It's almost like she's not even taking it in. She's perhaps doing some sort of dance. But you follow her, and she does a perfect circle. Mm-hmm. Around like the first part of the exhibition, doesn't go deeper in. Mind you, these are all warehouses with some of the stuff goes all the way up to the ceiling and some of them are very small and there's people everywhere. But she goes about halfway or quarter of the way in and then starts to loop around and come back towards the exit. Meanwhile, we go to the Palace of Arts. There are lots of little small rooms as well as larger installations. There's paintings, there's sculptures going back everything produced since the 18th century. Kiosks both inside and outside of these various pavilions that have been set up representing individual companies within the British Empire. And the Palace of Beauty is one of these larger kiosks. You see they sell like souvenir soap. There's rooms with famous women of history, and it's to this room that Gavagan walks. And so you see him sort of disappear into this installation about famous women of history.
Is it like a small room? Like if we were in there with him, he'd probably see us?
No, I'm not doing a good job describing this because I'm like reading as I'm saying it, but imagine like in the Palace of Arts, there are all these like kiosks and tents and whatnot, and then there are rooms within rooms. This is one of these larger rooms that he kind of walks into, and there's a big sign that says, Women Throughout History.
Oh, this is perfect, because of course I would be in there. Let's go.
Yeah, you're a woman.
If he sees us, I'm a woman in art. If he sees us, he'd be like, duh.
Yeah, oh, great. Yeah. Right, I forgot about all that. Yeah, let's go.
Back to Desmond and Feyruz following this woman out. She leaves the Palace of Industry and walks across the way over to the Palace of Arts. You follow her in and you see her walking up to the famous women from history exhibit. And it's like a small museum within a museum, basically. And you see her walking, and ahead of her are Margot and Carter. So it's like, it's you guys, this woman, Margot and Carter, and then the exhibition with Gavagan inside.
I didn't know better. I'd say she was trying to lose a tail. I'm kind of glancing around, but also watching her, hoping that she'll just kind of stroll past our friends. See if she passes them and goes inside, then I will walk up and sort of try to covertly or casually saunter by Margot and Carter.
Yeah.
That's our lady there. Gone to join the other famous women, has she?
Oh, is there Bolson there? Gavkin's in there.
Well, look, you lot. I'm the only one whose face he hasn't seen. Maybe I can draw up close if they are having a conversation. If we really track them to a meeting, maybe I can get close enough to hear it.
That's brilliant. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, okay.
I think you probably should have found the kettle corn. That's something an intern would have done by now, but that's fine. Go in there.
You're right. He does say kettle corn. It's kettle. Right?
No, don't change the way you say it. It's
a hard
so cool.
T. I'm overthinking it. Look, if they give me the slip and come back out the other way,
we'll be waiting.
Just continue. Just be waiting.
Okay.
All right, boy. And I pulled my flat cap down, get my collar up, and walk into the Great Women of History Pavilion.
And Carter proudly turns to Margot. He's like, that's my ward.
All right, Desmond, you sneak into the, casually walk into the famous women from history section, and you immediately know that it was a good idea to come alone because it's very quiet in here. There are, still 40, 50 people milling about that you can see. And the room kind of twists and turns. And there are all these glass cases with models behind them, actual women dressed up like famous women from history. So the first one you see is like Helen of Troy. And there's a woman just like modeling dressed as Helen of Troy, and she'll
like
she'll,
real women behind
yeah real women human she'll hold, terrariums. Hold a pose and then she'll awesome. Change
that seems on par for the time
very yeah, much so yeah
move to the next one. It's you're just reading all the names and looking at all the women. They're all wearing different things. Madame de Pompadour, Dante Beatrice, Mary Queen of Scots, Neil Gwyn. But you stop before you get up ahead, because you see standing in front of Cleopatra is Edward Gavigan and this woman in the scarf. And they are regarding the Cleopatra model behind the glass, not looking at each other and talking.
And I will try to get as close as possible. I'm just another... just another interested viewer here taking in the sights, and I want to see if I can hear what they're saying.
Okay. Give me a stealth roll with a bonus die, because okay. they haven't seen you before.
Great. Thank you for the bonus. Oh, boy, here we go.
I remember failure isn't like, hey, you Irishman, get out of this exhibit. Hey. Who let the Irish in here?
Beat it, Irish. Holy shit.
Well, I got an I got an extreme success. 3 under 40 on my stealth roll.
Wow, you guys are rolling rocks.
Throw in bones.
Okay. All right, so... you're listening to them chat, and you overhear them say, I don't know how they got involved with that awful journalist from New York. The Elias fellow. I knew he was up to something. And she says, yes, well, I was informed by Abdul that they made a visit to the Blue Pyramid Club as well. And from your description, I believe they've been to Spice Shop. Very strange. And Gavigan's like, yes, here someone has slipped into the Penhew Foundation at night as well. Wouldn't put it past them. I'm not sure what it is they are up to. They cannot interfere with the shipments. Well, is this something you need me to take care of? Or would you like to deal with this? And he bristles ever so slightly. There's something in her tone, maybe a little bit condescending. He says, no. I'm gonna let this bother me. I'll take care of it. And they part.
And I just look back at my interpretive brochure.
Nell Gwyn, oh, mistress of Charles II, well, I never.
And you look up, and they're no longer there, but the woman that is playing Cleopatra is like standing in front of a chess set. She leans forward and grabs one of the pieces and pushes it forward as if she's playing with an invisible opponent. And as you stand there watching her just like basically mime a chess game, you see a hooded black snake like rise up from behind her hair. And then like all of her long, like she's got that like long black Cleopatra hair begins to like join together to form the body of this snake. And the head like comes up like this, and it looks real and it's large and it's looming over this woman who never breaks character. She's just casually playing chess, and the snake rears up its head and like smashes forward, and the glass shatters, and you just like duck.
My notebook falls out of my hands, and I'm like, what the?
Ned. And someone comes up and says, are you all right, sir?
Those hands off me. Did you not see? And I look up and...
And Cleopatra is just standing there. The glass is completely solid, and she's just miming a game of chess.
What? And I kind of... I'm fine is all. Just got a tremor. Thank you, sir.
It's quite all right. Guy steps away. And you look. And Gavigan and the woman are nowhere to be seen. Margot, Carter, and Feyruz, if you're still outside. A couple minutes past, 10 minutes maybe, they're in there. You see Gavigan walk out, and then a couple minutes after that, the woman walks out, and they go in two completely different directions, but both in the direction of the exit.
Do I need to roll sanity, Troy?
Don't ask him that. Why would you?
He wants to.
Yes.
He really wants to.
Esmond is too rational. He needs to know. Yeah, I failed. 81 over 50.
All right, give yourself 1d4 sanity loss.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, it begins. All right, that's 3 points of sanity loss.
Oof.
And I think if I'm still in there, I maybe approach the glass and maybe even put my hand on it. My breath fogging the glass of this Cleopatra actor. She acknowledging my presence at all?
She's still playing her chess, but you see her kind of look up at you, but she's trying not to break character. And then you stay there, and she says, "What? Stop looking at me."
I meant no harm. Are you all right in there?
Yes. Go away. I'm gonna get in trouble.
Right.
Weirdo.
I'm no creeping peeper. I'm not. I thought you.
Irish no, creep. Dirty Irish creep.
No good deed goes unpunished, I guess. He pops his collar and walks out, feeling the eyes of all the historical women, like, scowling at him.
Oh, could you believe they pay 1 shilling and walk around the museum just to talk to each other or something? That's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly... That's sneaky 101. They don't want to be spotted.
I pop out and I'm just like eyes down. It's like,
Desmond, what's the matter with you?
You lot have been made. You lot have been made. We all been made.
Made?
Where'd they go?
They split up. They went in two different directions. We were waiting for you.
They left.
Well, you'd never guess who the topic of their little conclave was.
Oh. Well, go on.
Taking like my trembling hands, kind of taking your business card out. Seems that they are quite interested in the movements of your little mystery squad.
Okay. What is wrong with you? You're shaking.
Yeah, what's your problem?
What did they say that made you react?
It's just women in history.
Nothing's wrong.
Women can do things too, man. Don't be so shook.
I know that, damn you. I know that.
When the revolution comes, all boundaries will be swept away.
Right.
My eyes are playing tricks on me. That's what it is. My eyes are playing bloody tricks on me.
Why? What are you talking about?
It's nothing. It's nothing. Just a bit shaken, I guess.
No, tell us what you saw. It's important.
It finally happened, didn't it? I told you.
Did you see some crazy shit?
Tell us.
Oh, yes, it's such a milestone.
What are you lot all so pleased about?
We should get him a cake.
Van Alas.
Oh, yes, let's bake him a cake. Van Alas. Or better yet, some fucking kettle corn.
Nothing weird is happening to me. You're the weird ones. Look at you grinning at me. I got something that'll wipe the smiles right off your faces. Davigan and Jafik have made the lot of you. They know where you've been. They know that you've been skulking around the Blue Pyramid. They know that you've been inside the Penhue Foundation.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Impossible.
They're so obsessed with us.
I dropped that damn mirror.
Fuck. That's what they were speaking about, telling Ast. You were the sum total of the conference between the two of them. And what they said was is that they don't need you to interfere with the shipments. It's the shipments they're concerned with.
Okay. Well, we should absolutely go interfere with those.
And I grab you by the arm and know that maybe they'll be waiting for you. Gavigan in particular. The last little bit of their conference was deciding which one of them would take responsibility for dealing with their little mystery squad problem.
Huh.
Well, we're not afraid to get messy. That's as you've seen.
Well, I am well aware.
We will be careful. I do think we should not make the mistakes that we made. And then she, like, very casually or stealthily tries to, like, sniff her clothing to see if it smells like smoke from the fire.
But if worse comes to worse, we can just light the Penhue Foundation on fire.
Yeah, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to send some, like a fucking small, dirty child after us? Whatever.
And
then what? Why on earth would you say that?
I don't know. It's just thinking about the worst case scenario.
Yeah, all the absurdities.
What a bizarre and disturbing image.
But here's my question. Now, you're getting my wheels turning here, Irish Spring. What if, by shipment, they mean they're not talking about artifacts? What if these people are the shipments?
Oh, the people.
That's very well could be a possibility, yes.
Well, so
what if the people are going to the docks?
Well, we know that the people are being driven out of town. Is the docks out of town?
And we do know there are things going, those parts are going to Hong Kong or Australia?
Hong Kong and Australia.
To Hong Kong and Australia. Perhaps there's something being returned from those parts being made, or something else entirely. Who knows?
It seems like they're shipping things out. Like when you were watching the Penhue Foundation, you saw someone load something into a truck and go away. We're seeing them create things and finding shipping labels.
You think all of these are being for export?
Yeah.
Troy, did we get... zoom out for a second. Did we get just remind us the claim from the waitress at the Blue Pyramid about where these trucks were going? Did she say out of London, or she just said a direction from the Blue Pyramid?
Out of London. She followed one of the trucks one day, and it was going towards the outskirts of the city. So
and
she lost it. Yeah.
Okay.
But she felt pretty confident that it was going out.
Okay. So maybe it's not people.
It's people.
Although we do need to find out where that lot is going.
We should save those lives as well, yes. Okay.
Well, I also propose, just because, and no offense to you, Desmond, if in case we do have parties joining us, and this instance, like what happened with our friend Desmond here just happened, we ought to have a pamphlet. So you've seen an Eldritch horror. And... how to cope, and you know that's the sort of thing.
Like some standard boilerplate questions.
I think so.
It would have to be some sort of flowchart because not all of the Eldritch horrors are the same.
It could be. It could be. Did you see tentacles? Yes. No. And then it could be like a little.
Did you see a mummy? Did you see? Yeah.
Did this alter the reality in front of you in any way?
Just a three-panel foldout with a flowchart and an FAQ.
We're just hazing you, rookie. Calm down.
And then all of the flows go to one answer. Cool. Write it down for later.
Okay, so we should check out this shipment situation, right? We should check out the docks. Do we do that now? Out of during non-working hours, or
show you guys the map here of London again. So right now you're in Wembley, which would be I'm trying to think. It's north of where you were. But if you look at that little inset map, you'll see Limehouses to the east of London, on the way to Essex. So that's that section of town where the docks are. And then to give you an idea, Nora, that address you got for the Captain Emil is in London proper, closer to Liverpool Street Station, which is number 6 on the map, which is sort of the east northeastern portion of the map. Beyond that, you still don't know where those trucks are going, how it's connected to anything.
Would you wish to go tonight, then, to the, that was our plan?
I think the sooner we go, the better. Because I think there's more of a chance for them to be waiting for us.
That's how, right.
Some sort of chance of seeking retaliation.
Now, did they talk about you, Des? Did they say anything about us being with you?
At first I was concerned because they brought up a journalist, but, they're referring to that Elias fella.
Oh.
Interesting.
I only met the man one time when he came in looking through our archive.
So we are on the right track. They are scared. We are close to finding out something, and everything will connect. I think if we go to the docks and see what they're shipping, that seems to be the big thing. It might tie everything together.
Did Gavigan say anything about, a company that he owns burning to the ground?
Never came up.
Huh.
Strange, okay. Considering how large a conflagration we left.
Maybe he doesn't want her to know.
Perhaps.
Okay.
If they got shipping crates there, maybe we could break in and see exactly what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we think and bust out of this museum and go to the Limehouse, or wait until night. Right now, it's probably late afternoon, so it's not long before night. Just tell me, what time you want to head over there, if that's the plan.
I mean, if this is in, a seedy, shady part of town, I feel like the sooner we get there, the better.
Yeah, but first, let's see that gift shop.
Exit through the gift shop. Yeah, we got a little...
Check out the amazing gift shop.
For no reason at all, the foam, a little foam waving.
Just Carter fully kitted out in Union Jack attire.
I was just saying, you look like the Spice Girls leaving there.
Power to the world, spice up your life. No, I followed the Spice Girl all the way here. Hello,
yeah.
<Spice.
laughs>
We have to stop her, otherwise... She will make a spice world out of it.
All right, so you want to kind of get there earlier in the day than later, just because it's a shady area. And also you're going to be, outside of town. It's going to be a longer trek back. So the four of you, after hitting up the gift shop, hail a car to Limehouse. And I mentioned this to you last time, Desmond, that Limehouse is the dirty part of London. Very unsavory reputation for gambling, derelicts, opium addicts. There's all sorts of exotic restaurants and plenty of organized crime and unorganized crime. And so you head there looking for the warehouse, but you guys don't know where it is. You just know you're looking for... Do you have an address? I can't remember if you have an address.
We know it's the name of the shipping company.
I feel like we would have had an address.
Don't we?
Yeah. I feel like we, even with the name of the company, we would have been able to find
it. You certainly could have looked that up, so I'm not going to hold that against you. So, you roll up on this warehouse, and the warehouse, like many of the ones in this area, are all abutting the river. And so there are docks in the back of most of these buildings, including the warehouse that you've been directed to. And there are several boats lined up. There's a lot going on. It seems like people are either finishing work or there are boats coming in and the workers are getting off and tying up the boats. And there's just a lot going on here. And so you get, you're on Queen Street. And you see this two-story warehouse sitting right along the edge of this canal. Several docks, several ships of various sizes. And there are two men standing, kind of lingering outside the entrance to the warehouse you're looking at. One looks Asian, and the other one appears to be perhaps Middle Eastern. Any of you have any sort of background in, you know, ships? Anything ship related?
Boat lore?
I mean,
boat lore.
I mean, I'm from New England.
I think it would be safe to say, well, who has a, give me a history there. Feyruz.
Oh boy, my history is a whopping 5.
Oh, I thought you were. Who's the history buff?
I had like anthropology. Maybe it was biology or something.
Might have been Vaughn. All right, so don't roll your 5.
Is there like a roll we can do that's like retroactive? That's like
a no.
We kind of knew about these boats already. Did we look up anything in between?
It's not really related to that. It's just these characters that you see standing outside the building. I'm just trying to see if you guys would know, like, what these guys' deal is. I think it's safe to say that Desmond would know. I don't want to make you roll just for every single thing, but these guys are most likely, Lascars, which are, Lascars. They're like immigrant sailors for hire. And they're usually pretty tough customers. You know, they come, this is all under the table. They do what they're supposed to do, and then some. So they're nobody you want to fuck around with. And there's two of them standing outside of Chowdhury's warehouse. You see the dock behind. Like I said, there's several boats and there's this action back there. But there's just these two guys standing outside, smoking cigarettes.
Seems to me that we're looking at the security team.
Yes, you know about the common working man. What are these ruffians and what
are these ruffians?
Oh, they work. They work for the these are the security, or are they laborers?
I think we're looking at all.
Faberus doesn't know what to call them. Laborers.
Shipmen.
Yes, you might. Yes, Mr. Brown, you might call them all-purpose laborers.
What could a banana cost?
Freelancers.
$20?
Employees?
Is there anywhere, like, to hang out outside while we scope out the place and maybe... Like, I'm trying to see, like, since we're here during the day, can we, like, lay low and, like, if we see an opening at any point, like, get a little closer?
Yeah, there's bars, there's restaurants. It's almost like, it got kind of like a Blade Runner feel in the way that everything is laid out. Like, it's small little outdoor restaurants, bars that you, like, go underground into. And, you know, you're not walking around long before everyone is looking at you. You are all stand out here. Maybe if Desmond was solo, he wouldn't get a ton of looks, but like the rest of you, there's no women about. The only women that are about are working. And you get like dirty looks. You know, it's still daytime, so nobody's messing with you.
Is just like, I too am a ruffian.
I am also a working woman. Totally not understanding.
But you could certainly duck into a restaurant and try and find the type of place where you could keep an eye on the front of the building.
So we're convinced that these two guys are actually like security detail, or they're just dock workers.
Seems you really don't know, but it seems like they haven't moved their position from.
I see. They're just planted. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get a pint and a pie and get a little better view of what's going on here. But stay close and try to ignore what anyone might say to you.
I will, thanks. Oh, are you talking to the women? Sorry, are you talking to the women?
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Oh. And, yeah, can we find our way to a...
The watering hole.
A watering home.
All right, so you sit down in a little restaurant that gives you as good a view as possible on the building. And waiter comes over, tough customer, takes your order. Come back, get food. Doesn't look like what you ordered.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sir? Yeah. I believe I ordered the prime rib.
He turns around and walks.
Okay.
The longer you linger there, more and more people are coming in, and there's less people eating and more people just drinking. And it's rowdy. As you're there for about 45 minutes or so, it starts getting darker out, and a boat comes in directly behind Chatterer's warehouse. You see a dozen or so sailors hop off as it's coming in, tie it up, do all that boat shit.
Exactly.
Boat boats. You know, boat stuff.
Do we see the name of the ship?
Not from this distance. If it
are
even
those
has
guys still out there?
Let's check it.
Those guys, as the boat comes in, you see them like someone's talking to them, maybe from inside the building or from the back. They're, you know, looking, and one of them goes around to the back of the building. And so now you watch, you follow that guy around, and he's like greeting the boat. And then two more of these tough-looking customers come out of the warehouse and start chatting with the crew. It's like they're just shooting the shit. And then two guys go back into the warehouse, and the original guy comes back out front. And as the sailors are, tying the boat up and everything, this heavyset guy... looks like he might be the captain. He's like ordering everybody around. He gets off the boat and starts walking in your direction. In fact, comes right up to your restaurant and sits down at the bar. He is like maybe mid-50s. Could be older. He's got a graying beard, weathered skin, bright blue eyes. He's kind of heavy set, and he's got like a little scully cap on. And as he's ordering, you detect a like Norwegian accent. He immediately orders like two glasses of whiskey and a beer, and he crushes both whiskeys and then starts sipping on the beer while ordering two more whiskeys.
Is that the jukebox play?
No, that's not. No, that's the that's the traditional Norwegian brogue I detect, I think.
Okay. Well, I feel like Captain, let's at least brace him a little bit, see what he knows.
He's getting a wee bit lubricated, it seems.
Do you think Desmond?
One of us care to make an introduction?
I think you might be... I don't know, unless anybody else wants it. I'm not good at these encounters.
I don't want to...
My track record speaks for itself.
I don't think we should flirt with anyone here.
No,
that's all I got.
That's a bad idea.
Might be a wee bit dangerous. Well, perhaps I'll go and buy our hard-working captain a drink. See if it loosens his tongue. And I'll step up from our table and get a seat, see if I can kind of shoulder my way in and get next to this guy at the bar. Tuakavit.
Looks at you, side eyes. Goes back to drinking.
seen you just come in off off that steamer there. What just docked. Here's to your health. It's a fair wind that blows any man home, what?
It's kind of moody. Lost in his drink.
Okay. Sorry I said it.
I don't see many. Here. Don't see many Irish drinking aquavit.
Well, perhaps those Irish that aren't as discerning as the ones you've come across. I'm a man of cosmopolitan taste, I suppose.
You're in the wrong place, then. No place for that in Limehouse.
On the contrary, I find Limehouse to be the crossroads of the very world. Right here, I can meet a countryman, or I can meet a Norsker, like yourself. Fellas from round the Cape, from round the Horn, Americans, Dutchmen, the lot. Where is it that you've come from, old salt?
I come from all over. I come where the wind takes me. Lars Torvak. Reaches out a big meaty paw.
Right. It's just a human callus. It's like,
I'll weather it. You a sailor?
Well, from Belfast. Father worked in a shipyard.
Oh. You know your way around a ship?
Well, I seen him built. I've been on him a time or two.
So no.
I'm a landsman.
You're a landsman.
I don't do my trade on an open sea.
What brings you down to Limehouse? You're looking for a good time? Just looking to get drunk?
Well, I hear nearly anything's for sale around here.
He looks at you now. Maybe he's just been side-eyeing you. True that? True that.
I mean, this is the sort of place where you can lay hands on all sorts of precious cargo.
Just looks at his drink.
And what I want is to find out where he's come from and what he's brought. May I roll to see how well I'm doing
like
here?
Like a psychology or something? Kind of get a vibe from this guy?
That's interesting. Yeah, I'll take a psychology roll.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Oh, no, that's a fumble. My luck has run out. 100 over 40.
Ooh.
Goose eggs.
No. So you're trying to get a...
So I take my drink and I'm like,
Oh, my God.
Let me take the measure of this man. Lars, yes.
I would say that, the result of the fumble is that, like, you're trying to get a beat on him. Like, is he, like, just a grouchy old seaman? Or is he trying to be purposefully vague? And you spill some of your drink on him, and he stands up. And, like, when he stands up, several other people stand up. And he just kind of, like, raises his hand and says, it's all right. Have a good night, sir. And he... gets up and sits at the other end of the bar.
Nice meeting you, Lars.
The rest of us, I think, are just sitting there like, oh, no.
Wiping his pants and now everybody is watching
back to
you.
Walk back to your table. Like, I suppose it could have been worse. I could have tried to suck it off him.
Why would you do that?
You know, that's crazy.
This is why you're the rookie. It's okay. Why do we fall? So we can pick ourselves back up, right?
Thanks for the wisdom. This is what a mentee counts on from mentor, I suppose.
No problem. But also write that down too, because I thought that was pretty good how it just came out.
So get back up again. Yeah. Well, I know about as much as I did when I walked over to him. He's a He's a flinty customer, that one. A tough nut to crack.
Okay, well, how about this? Why don't we go outside and at the very least use our peepers and figure out if there's a name on this boat. That boat rolled up and it's called the... It's the Ebony Ground, whatever, that we know it's not the right one, right?
That's right.
So, it's cool. It's cool. You'll get him next time, Tiger.
What like, maybe as we get up from the table, Margot, like, puts her arm around Carter because she's trying to, like, use you as, like, a shield from, like, the glaring eyes of, like, the men around. Just being like, so
clumsy.
Stay close. Thank you.
Yeah, I got you. And he kind of, like, instinctively just reaches and grabs your hand and pulls you out.
And Desmond is like, normally I'm not so clumsy. I'm not a speller.
What
sort
of
felt as though, there's a snake crawling up my leg.
Well, that's weird, because I felt like all the Irish people got rid of all those, right?
Yeah.
Carter just looks at a little notebook. He's got all these Irish, like, fucking digs written down, and he just crosses that one off.
Yeah. Got it. St. Patrick and all that. Yeah.
So you leave this little restaurant pub, and if you look back, Torvac's like eyeing you. He goes back to his drink. Get outside.
None of the rest of you want to have a crack at Torvac?
I mean, he literally ran into a corner after you.
Maybe let him have a couple more drinks in him. And
probably couldn't get him to open up. Probably no one can.
You can always roll back. But you're going to go outside. You want to check out this boat. You get outside, and you still see two guys standing in front of the building, but now you're not even sure if they're the same two guys. It's getting darker out now. The sun is down. You can hear the water of the canal hooting and hollering of the sailors. Lots of people walking by, and you're very uneasy. But there's a passageway to get towards the dock. All four of you going straight to the boat. You know, near the boat.
I think. Yeah.
I mean, I am.
Who has the best stealth? Maybe, like, we should stay back and one person kind of gets up closer. So, because we're pretty obvious of a group.
Yeah. If all of you go, the worst stealth will roll, which I think is a 40. It's a pretty good stealthy group. If one of you goes, you just roll your stealth.
But I think that's me or Feyruz.
Right. But given the circumstance, it might not be the best idea for me to be walking into this shipyard alone.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I also think that I am a catch, but that's fine.
Well, what if we all go? Because if there is, look, by the judge of this group, having one person walking around is very suspicious. But a group could be, we're all on a stroll. We could explain it away a little easier than one person trespassing.
But we're trying to... Oh.
In case we're caught.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
I'll give a little scope out. I'll just do a quick perusal.
She leans over to Desmond. Spitballing is an American term that means.
Yeah, you know. So, at first, I was like, that sounds unnecessarily gross.
All right. So give me a stealth roll there, Carter, as you kind of skulk up.
Regular success.
Okay. So you split off from the group while the three of the rest of you stay behind. You walk creak, creak, creak down this dock towards the boat. The Lascars that came out of the building to talk to the boat when they came in are no longer in sight. But when you get to the back, you see that there are big warehouse doors as well as a small side door that lead into the building as well. So there's another way to get into the building as opposed to the front. And you don't see people outside, but you imagine those people are probably inside. Maybe not. Maybe they're done for the night. You see another way into the building that does not have guards out in front of it. You get over towards the boat and you hear, the faint sounds of like yelling, not like, out of anger, kind of like cheering. And you get the sense that, like, the sailors are, like, below deck, playing games or something. Sounds like, like cheering each other on, yelling. And the
just Warhammer.
Yeah, they're just playing. They're just painting minis.
Yeah. Awesome. Chaos Marines forever.
they're down there playing Call of Cthulhu. You hear them cheer, and so the boat is there's no one on the deck right now, and you're right there. What do you do?
Okay, I'm trying to figure out the geography here again. So I'm on a like a gangway, like yeah, I'm not.
It's kind of like so all these warehouses have these like the dock starts from the street and goes past the warehouses out to the canal, and so behind the it's kind of like a boardwalk back there. So it's one long dock with boat.
Uh huh.
And okay. So you walk to the one that pulled in behind the building, and that's the one that Lars Torvak got off of, and all the sailors are below deck fucking around, and you're okay. Just kind of walking out there.
Can I see the name of the boat?
The Ivory Wind.
Awesome. Jackpot. I'm going to return to the squad.
You tiptoe back.
Like a cat. Like a pantheress.
Like a pantheress.
Sleek pantheress.
All right, guys. It's the Ivory fucking Wind. It's here.
Oh, my God.
That's the one that Gavigan wants to have his precious cargo on.
There's a crew that's still on the ship. They're yelling something about space elves. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then there's another way into the warehouse. Couldn't see anyone in there. Couldn't get close enough, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone's in there. It's my Carter sense going off a little bit.
Well, perhaps we once again peek. Once
peep a sneak?
I totally, my brain just was like, nope.
Is this another American idiom? Door. I don't know.
It's called peek a sneep.
Well, let's peek a sneep in the back door then.
Yes. As we usually do.
Yes. Maybe we can prop something up against the warehouse door to keep whoever's in there while we inspect what the cargo is.
You mean from the outside?
From the outside. So just in case they want to come out while we're snooping around, they can.
Well, there's still these two guys that are chilling in the front way.
Maybe there's a way that we could secrete ourselves either in a warehouse or on a ship so that when folk go to their bunks or leave, then we'll have the run of the place.
There was a name. We had a name for the. We had this chowdery guy, right?
That's right.
That's an actual person that works here. Is he the owner or something?
I'd reckon it's the fella what runs the warehouse.
I mean, we could just walk straight up to these guys and ask if Chowdery's around.
And say what exactly?
Is Chowdery around?
Exactly. To what end? In that case.
Forgive me for second guessing your plan there, Tillinghast, but weren't we trying to sneak like onto the ship or into the warehouse so that we could get a look at what's in the packing containers that they're taking away?
I guess not every place can just have a walk-in safe installed that we can claim we're from the company that made said safe, and
especially when now that we know that Gavigan's got his eyes on us.
If we thought we were being sneaky this whole time and he's known everything we've done, we shouldn't be sloppy right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I love a challenge. Let's do it. I'm pumped.
All right.
What are we doing?
So shall we try to sneak onto the ship or into the warehouse to try to wait, just kind of get ourselves situated in there so that when people leave, we've got the run of the place by night?
I mean, I don't know enough about boat etiquette, but these guys could just be sleeping on this boat tonight, right?
They may well be, in which case we'd do our best
not to
wake them.
Whenever their interminable game ends, they could just go to bed.
Do we know how long they're docking for?
Well, do we have some sense of when the shipment is supposed to leave?
Well,
if the captain's getting hammered at a bar, maybe they're staying here overnight.
I can't imagine they're doing like a drop-in, drop-off kind of move. You know, they got to be here for a little bit.
That's fair.
Okay, so the idea is that we sneak. I'm just worried about getting on the boat when I know for sure there's people on the boat and right. they could just never be leaving the boat tonight. But the warehouse, if we can get, I guess we have to get around these two guys if we're going to get in there. Troy, was there, from what I spotted when I was there, a path to a window or anything? Or is it all just like, are there windows in this
building? Yeah, there are windows. They're big windows. They're kind of like clouded so you can't see in, but there are windows. You certainly could, you know, scale the wall to try and see if any of those windows are unlocked.
And were any of us to get up to the window? Are you saying it's so cloudy that we couldn't be able to like see through it?
Or? Yeah, if you climbed up, you could probably see in if you got close enough. It's dark though, but there are a couple of lights on in the building. Not a lot.
I can try to climb up, peek in, see if anyone's in there, and then give you guys some kind of a signal.
Okay.
Right.
Be careful climbing. Climbing is hard.
That's a great
How's
point.
That ankle, by the way?
I think I walked it off. I think it's fine now.
Good, good.
All right, so, Carter,
I'm going to roll. I get out my grappling hook.
I'm going to roll your stealth over to head back over there since you're just going alone. Good. We'll say you know a good path. You get over there, and you want to try and pull yourself up to the window and look in.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like crates that I can dip, get up.
Yeah, actually, you could do that. And you wouldn't even have to roll a climb check. But I do want a spot hit as you peek through.
So we're kind of watching you from a distance as you're kind of burglaring your way up there.
See what old one eye does.
Okay.
Is this a good? Is this bad?
That's a fumble.
Ooh.
It's a 98. Well, I fumble on a spot hidden, so hopefully it's not too. But yeah, I had a 28 in spot hidden. I rolled a fucking 98.
As you're looking, Margot Zanina Desmond going, he's in his elements right now. Watch, he's so good at this.
Oh, I've seen him pick the most formidable lock in England. There's no way just climbing up a few boxes will stymie him.
All right. Fumble. Man. Go over to these crates. It's dark now. Sunset, and it got dark quick. Still early in the night. It might be 7-8 o'clock at this point. But every noise is foreboding, especially as you're trying to be quiet over there, and you're in an area where no one really is. There's those two guys standing out front. There's the guys below deck on the Ivory Wind, and you go up to the side of the building, and climb up some crates to peek in. As you get on that top crate, you just kind of like step on a piece, like an edge of it, where like a little metal bracer for the crate, ting, 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 falls to the ground. Those of you on the other side of the street don't hear that, but you do see one of the Lascars turn towards that sound and start walking around to the side of the building where Carter is. Carter, you don't see that. You are looking inside, and you look inside, and there are 15, a dozen or so large crates. And up on a catwalk in the building is a small office. It looks like three men are inside. One is like saying something, and the other ones are listening, and they're laughing. And he keeps talking, they're laughing, but you see 15 crates down here. Meanwhile, the rest of you watch as this Lascar turns the corner and begins walking up the alley towards that sound. And we'll see you next week.
Cool. How many times can we end a fucking episode on me fumbling?
At least seven.
We'll stop fumbling.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, all right. Man. That's fine.
All
That's awesome.
I'm going to burn these dice. Goodbye.
That's all. You guys, extreme successes and fumbles. That's your jam.
Big swings. Big swings.
Yep. Big swings.
Yep, yep, yep.
Makes for high drama.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.